Amen. Praise the Lord for that special, and what a blessing it's been to be in the Lord's house this morning. I trust you've been encouraged already through the music, through the fellowship here. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 18 this morning, Acts chapter 18, and we're going to be studying out of this passage, Acts chapter 18, verses 1 down through verse 8. Once you've found your place in your Bible, if you're able to, would you join me in standing for the reading of God's Word this morning? Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says there, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. We have the start of the church at Corinth. And God had given to Paul a great open door there in the city of Corinth. And yet there was opposition. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "An Open Door Always Comes with Opposition." An open door always comes with opposition. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we come before you today, we are mindful of your goodness to us. Lord, we have heard through music this morning what grace and mercy that you have. Lord, we have heard of your attributes this morning. And Lord, as the words of the song that was just sang, Lord, help us to decrease so that you may increase in our lives. And I pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, I pray as we attempt to preach this message from your word, Lord, that you would give understanding, that you would help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart, Lord, for each and every person that has gathered here today. Lord, I pray that they would get exactly what you would have them to get this morning. I pray that you'd use us now, Lord. Be with us during our study. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. We here in Acts chapter 18, it's chronicling the missionary journey of Paul. This is his second missionary journey. Chapter 17, he had spent some time in Athens, Greece, and then he had made his way to Corinth. There in Corinth, it was situated in such a way, it was there at the southern part of Greece, it was on a waterway, and historians would tell us that men from all over the known world would come there to Corinth, and they would buy and sell, they would trade. And so there was a lot of money there in the city of Corinth, but Corinth was also known for its immorality as well. There was a lot of that going on there, and one writer observed, if you could imagine this, that Corinth would have been comparable if you mixed the modern-day Hollywood and Las Vegas and you put those two cities together with all those things that those cities represent. That would give you somewhat of a picture of the culture that was happening there in the city of Corinth. Certainly, probably words would fail us to describe it, but if we look at the city of Athens, Greece, and if Athens was known for its architecture and its philosophy, you could say that Corinth was known for its wealth and its immorality. And it's into that city that God gives Paul an open door on his second missionary journey. That God brings him to this city, and he opens up a door of opportunity for God to work amongst that city. I want you to notice that open door. Notice that it was an unlikely open door. Corinth probably wasn't a great place where someone would come to and say, "This place is just ready for a church to be established," because of the culture and all the things that were going on there. In fact, Paul was the author of the book of Romans. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1, because Paul wrote the book of Romans from Corinth. And no doubt as we study Romans chapter 1, it helps us to understand some of the things that he would have been dealing with there in the city of Corinth. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That was a picture of what Paul was dealing with there in the city of Corinth. And as I read through there, I can't help but think of some of the parallels that we're seeing in our world today. But as Paul came there, God opened a door, but it would have been an unlikely open door. And yet there's a tremendous lesson that we can learn here, that God loves everybody. That God wants all of mankind to have the opportunity to receive salvation. That while there may have been filthy, wicked sinners living there in the city of Corinth, they were a people for whom God loved. They were a people for whom God had sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come there and to die on the cross for their sins. And listen, while it would have been easy for Paul to come there and maybe come from Athens and stand there in Corinth and maybe take a survey of the spiritual temperature of the day, and it may have been easy for Paul to say, you know what, God's not anywhere in this city. I'm going to move on and find another place. God had an open door there for Paul in the city of Corinth. Amen. I'm encouraged by that this morning, because it helps us to understand that God loves and cares for each and of us. You may be here today and you may be wondering, where do I fit in this equation? Does God really love me? Does God really care for me? Maybe I've done too many things against God that God can't possibly save me. I'm here to tell you, we have an example of a city that was full of wicked sinners. And yet, just like God had died on the cross for the Apostle Paul, that murderer of Christians, and just like God had died on the cross for the people of the city of Corinth, I'm here to tell you, God has died on the cross for every one of our sins. I'm encouraged when I read 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, where it says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What a great promise for us to understand this morning, that God died for you. Can I tell you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, the things that you've experienced, can I tell you, there is forgiveness at the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. What a blessing. As Paul has this open door, we see that it was an unlikely open door, but I want you to see that it not only was an unlikely open door, but it was a confirmed open door. God gave Paul confirmation almost immediately when he got to the city of Corinth. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I truly believe that God works in our lives as Christians, as we're following after him. And I believe he works in open doors and closed doors. I believe as we're praying about things and we're asking for God to lead us and to guide us, that sometimes he opens a door for us and he makes it very clear, this is what I want you to do. There are other times that he closes the door and he says, not right now, or this isn't what I want you to do. But one of the great blessings that we have is that God confirms his will along the way. We see there that in Corinth, back in Acts chapter 18, one of the first things that God did for Paul as he came there to Corinth is he brought him to a couple. The Bible says in verse 2, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. God allowed Paul to come and meet this couple, and some believe that they, Aquila and Priscilla, were already saved when Paul met them. Others believe that Paul had an opportunity to win them to the Lord. But what we do see, that they became incredible ministry helpers with Paul. And so we know that they did receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But notice how God works. Would you look at that passage? The Bible says, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Pontus would have been east of Corinth there, near modern-day Turkey. And then God had moved Aquila from Pontus to Italy. Italy obviously would have been west of where they were in Corinth. And then lately, he had come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. In other words, listen, notice the timing of where God had brought Aquila and Priscilla to Corinth. It had happened just recently. Notice the events that had taken place there in Italy. The emperor there, Claudius, had told all the Jews they needed to leave Rome. There was persecution up on the Jews, and so God had brought Aquila and Priscilla into Corinth. Then the scriptures go on to say, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them, and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. Isn't it wonderful to know how God worked this all out? How God had brought Aquila and Priscilla from Italy, and they not fully understanding the circumstances that were going on there, and were wondering why they would have been uprooted from their home. And yet God brings them there, and it just so happens that God brings Paul to them. Paul is of the same craft. He's a tent maker. It was told that Jews, as little children, would learn a trade from their parents. And Paul was brought up in the trade of tent making. And there they would have opportunity to help to minister to Paul. They would have room in their business for Paul to begin working with them. Paul wasn't supported by many churches at the time, and therefore where he went, he had to work a job. And he wrought with them and he abode with them. And God worked it all out. God gave confirmation, this Paul is where I want you to be. It's one more step of God confirming his will in Paul's life as he opens that door. Can I tell you, one of the great blessings of following God in faith is watching him confirm his will. As we step through those open doors that God has for us, listen, understand, it's always a step of faith. But one of the great blessings of living the Christian life and stepping through those open doors is watching God confirm his will in our lives. In fact, the scriptures teach us that God does this. He's done this since the beginning of time. He has someone step out in faith. There's an open door, and they step through that door, and God says, listen, it may be a step of faith, but watch me confirm what I'm going to do in this. I want you to go back to Joshua in chapter 1. Joshua in chapter 1, I want you to see an Old Testament example of this. The book of Joshua obviously records the children of Israel and their journey into the Promised Land. The Promised Land was a great open door for them, but it took a step of faith. They had attempted under Moses' leadership at one time to go into the Promised Land, and we understand what happened there. They had to wait for 40 years because of their lack of faith. And yet it became Joshua's task to lead the children of Israel into the Promised Land. The Bible says in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. What God was telling to Joshua, he was saying, listen, there is a great open door for you. It's into the Promised Land. It's going to take a step of faith. He talked a little bit about that faith in verses 5 and 6. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance unto the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Listen, Joshua, the Promised Land is a great open door, but it's going to take some faith. You know, as the Israelites, as they stepped out in faith, one of the first things God did was confirm his will to them at the Jordan River. I want you to turn over to chapter 3. There's an incredible story here in Joshua chapter 3 in verse 9 as they stepped out in faith to this open door that God had given to them. One of the first things God did was confirm his will. The Bible says in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 3, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that shall come down from above, and they shall stand about in heap. Did you catch what he said there? He said, this is the confirmation that God has. This is confirmation that God is going to drive out the enemies. One of the confirmations that they would need to have is know that God was on their side, that they had the power of God on their side. And he said, listen, as we go into the Jordan River, as the priests with the Ark of the Covenant come into the Jordan River and they step into the waters, the Jordan River is going to part left and right, so that we'll walk through on dry ground. It's further confirmation that God is in this, that we have the power of God on our behalf as we go through this open door. Continue reading. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now notice this, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. This was not some dried up creek bed. This was a flowing river here. It was overflowing at the time of harvest. He said that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Hedom, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off. And the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. It was an open door that God had given to them, and he said, I want to confirm this open door by giving you this opportunity to see that God's power is on your side. What a great blessing for us to understand this morning that we have the power of God on our behalf. God gives us open doors to step through, and I'm here to tell you, if you're saved today, listen, God is opening doors for you in your life. God didn't save you so that you might stagnate in the Christian life. God didn't save you so that you could just come to church and sit in a pew and just take in. God saved you so that you could give out, so that you could serve him. And listen, if you're a Christian today, I guarantee you this, God is moving in your life. God is opening doors, and he's giving opportunity for you to step out in faith through those open doors. Amen. It may be a ministry that someone has asked you to be a part of. Say, I could never do that. I could never teach. I could never stand in front of people and speak. It may be in finances. God has opened the door. He's giving you an opportunity to be faithful in the area of giving, whether it be through tithe, or we're getting ready to go through our Faith Promise Missions Month here in a few weeks as we see what we'll consider in giving to worldwide missions. It may be in a matter of witnessing. It may be the idea that God has laid someone on your heart. Maybe it's a coworker, a family member, or a neighbor, and it may be some other thing, but God has prepared an open door for you, and he's waiting on you to step out in faith. It takes faith to walk through those open doors that God gives us, but God will confirm along the way his goodness to us. We see that open door, number one, back in Acts chapter 18, but number two, I want you to see, while there was open door, there was opposition to that open door. How many of you understand what I mean when I say just because God opens a door, it doesn't mean the road ahead is an easy road to walk through? In fact, when God does open a door for us, there's always going to be opposition. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul, writing the letter of 1 and 2 Corinthians, was writing to this church that was established, this church where he had received this open door there in Acts chapter 18. And notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. He says, therefore, a great door and effectual is open unto me. God would continue to give Paul open doors. He says, a great door, it's an effectual door. No doubt, it's from God. God has opened up this opportunity for me to go and minister. At this time, he was speaking about going to Ephesus and the door that God would open for him going forward. But look what he says there at the end of verse 9. And there are many adversaries. God has supplied an open door for me. It's a great open door. It's an effectual open door. But understand this about the open doors that God gives to us. There are always adversaries. We have a devil who is our adversary. He doesn't want to see what God is doing in our lives. He wants to stop God from helping us to accomplish all that God would have for us to accomplish in the Christian life. The Bible reveals to us the devil's playbook. One of the things we understand about the devil, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the things that God would reveal to us in the scriptures is that when God is at work in our lives, the devil is also at work. He's an adversary. He's fighting against what God is trying to accomplish through our lives. And it was no different for the Apostle Paul as God had given him this open door in the city of Corinth. In fact, we go back to Acts in chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. One of Paul's customs in any city that he went to is he would go to the synagogue. He would begin to witness there in the synagogue. And because of Paul's ability or his inability to support himself through other finances, because he had to work a job, when he first got to the city of Corinth, he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He would there reason with the Jews, and it somewhat seems that it was tolerated at least for a time, possibly because it was just once a week. It was just on the Sabbath day. But the Bible says in verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. One of the things that you'll remember as you study in Acts chapter 17, Paul had gone to Athens and he waited for Timotheus and Silas. And when they didn't come to Athens, when their time of coming was tarried, he moved on to Corinth. And there in the city of Corinth, finally Silas and Timotheus came to him and they brought with him. The Bible says they came from Macedonia. We don't have time to study it all out, but God was doing an incredible work in the city of Macedonia. These were a great people who had a great trial of affliction. There was much going on in their lives. They had been persecuted, and yet they were still joyful. The Bible says out of their poverty, they gave liberally. God was doing a work, and so Silas and Timotheus have now come from Macedonia. Can you imagine? They have come. They're fired up. They can't wait to get to Paul and tell him, you can't imagine what's going on in Macedonia. These people, God is doing such a great work in their life. And God is establishing a church there. And they're being faithful. Not only that, they bring with them an offering for Paul. We understand that they had given very liberally, even though they had nothing. They brought an offering. Now Paul, it appears, no longer has to make tents. Now they're in the city of Corinth, he can go into full-time ministry, if you will. He can begin to labor amongst the people. And so you have this combination. Man, you have God opening this door in Corinth. You have this confirmation of God's will through Aquila and Priscilla. Now Silas and Timotheus come to him, and they're saying, this is what God's doing in Macedonia. And by the way, they've sent this gift to you. And you have these open doors that are happening everywhere. And it almost seems as though this is where God's getting ready to kick this door in. I mean, this is where full-scale ministry is going to happen in Corinth. And the Bible says Paul was pressed in the spirit. The idea there is he's overflowing with joy. This is what God's doing. God has me here for a purpose. And he says, this is the time. And he goes and he begins to witness to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And it's about that time, that's when the opposition hits. The Bible says in verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed. In the very synagogue given for the worship of God, the people begin to blaspheme Paul and oppose themselves. Surely God was doing all this. Wasn't God in this? Paul may have started questioning, God, what are you doing here? I thought this is what you wanted. I thought we had this open door here. And I thought this is what you wanted for me. They opposed themselves and blasphemed. Kind of sounds familiar sometimes, doesn't it? We make a decision to start giving to missions. We increase our faith promise missions, and the next week the car breaks down. We step out in faith, and we have someone we want to witness to. God's laid it on their heart. It seems like they're ready to receive the gospel. We present the gospel to them and they rebuke us. They get on to us. They get upset with us. We make a spiritual decision. We rededicate our life, and the very next day, Satan brings up opposition. We step out in faith. God opens a door for us to teach a class. We step out in faith, and the first Sunday, it goes miserably. God, weren't you in this? It seems like we step out in faith for some reason or other, and we commit to doing this, and all of a sudden, a great trial comes upon in our life. Can I remind you this morning the words of Paul? With every open door, there are many adversaries. There's a devil fighting against everything that God is trying to do in our lives. It's an effectual door. It's an open door. Can I remind you that Satan uses people and circumstances to discourage us? Sometimes he'll use someone that really has good intentions. But they may say something, we might misunderstand it a little bit in our mind, and I wonder what they meant by that. God or the devil will use people. He'll use circumstances in our lives to discourage us. Let me ask you this question this morning. Did you agree to serve God so that you would have good circumstances? Did you make that decision so the road ahead would be easier? Did you agree to serve God because that's what he called you to do? With every open door, there will always be opposition. But we have a great promise here in this passage. While we see an open door and while we see opposition, I want you to understand thirdly and finally this morning, opposition cannot defeat you if God has opened the door. Amen. Opposition cannot defeat you if God has opened the door. Listen, you say, Brother Andy, the devil has a lot of power. I understand that, but we serve a God who has all power. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Sometimes we can defeat ourselves because of the opposition. But the Bible reveals that opposition cannot defeat you if God has opened the door. The Bible says in verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles. The idea, Paul took off his cloak, he shook his raiment. Has the same meaning as the saying that we would say today of someone washing their hands of a situation. In other words, they've done all they can do. They have no more responsibility in that area. What Paul was saying, listen, I've come here to witness. I've given you the opportunity to be saved. And now I'm going to go to people that will receive the gift of salvation. And Paul washed his hands of that place. And the Bible says he went to Justice House. Verse 7. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justice, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Understand what God's doing there? God had allowed a believer, a Gentile believer by the name of Justice, to have some property right next door to the synagogue. He invited Paul, come on over here. Come on over here and minister at my house. He came there. Listen, he may not have been welcome in the synagogue anymore, but they couldn't remove him from Justice House. And they had to walk past Justice House every day when they went to the synagogue. And Paul had an open door to witness and to see people saved there in Justice House. But by the way, the Bible says in verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. He got right back to doing what God had called him to do. There was an open door there. There was opposition. But he realized, God has me here for a reason. Opposition cannot defeat me. And he went right back to seeing people saved. And it's an incredible thing because Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, is saved. And all his house, they believe, they get saved and they're baptized. And many other Corinthians, God continues to keep this door open. The church of Corinth is born. Look at verse 11. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. That great door that God had envisioned, it's open. There was opposition to it. But Paul would not allow opposition to defeat him. And neither should you or I. Paul would write just a few pages later in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, I want you to see this. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. He would say this. But none of these things move me. The obstacles that I have, the opposition that Satan will bring, the people that will try to oppose themselves, the circumstances that will get in my way, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Listen, you want to finish your course with joy here on this earth? Step out in faith in the open doors that God gives to you. God's calling you to something. If you're a Christian today, listen, God did not save you to stagnate, to just sit and not accomplish anything for Him. Listen, some Christians live with no joy in their life. Why? Because they've never gone through the open doors and stepped out in faith where God has given them opportunity. They say, if I step through that open door, I'm going to face some opposition. There are some Christians today that are sitting in defeat because they stepped through an open door and some opposition came upon them and they pulled back and they said, I don't want to fight anymore. And today they're living a frustrated Christian life. Maybe even out of church altogether. Why? Because opposition came upon them and they allowed opposition to defeat them. Paul said, none of these things move me. Let me ask you this morning, what kind of open door has God presented to you today? As you look in your life and where you're at right now, what's God directing you to do? If you're saved today, God has given you an open door to accomplish something for Him. Let me encourage you to step through that door. Step out in faith. You say, Brother Andy, I don't see how God can provide in this area. I don't see how God is going to make a way for me in this area. We serve a God who can do all things. Perhaps you've stepped out in faith and now you're facing opposition. You know, too often we mistake opposition for God closing the door. I tell you, when you step out in faith, you have to expect there's going to be some difficult times. The Bible reveals, again, the words of Paul, that it's a great and effectual door, but there are many adversaries. Can I encourage you this morning to keep obeying God until He makes it clear to do something else? Face the opposition. Understand God has all power for you. Let me help you understand this morning, an open door always comes with opposition. But if we'll stay at it, we'll see what God had in mind all along. I love to go back, Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Verse 7 and 8, really. This is what God had in mind when Paul came to Corinth. Paul didn't understand all that God was going to do. But God knew the open door that was there. He had in mind, verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. He had in mind that many of the Corinthians would hear and believed and would be saved and baptized. He had in mind, verse 11, 18 months worth of ministry, a very influential church that was established. He knew all that was going to take place when Paul stepped through that open door. Paul didn't understand all that God was going to do. He didn't even maybe foresee the opposition that would take place. But God knew all along. I sure am glad that Paul stayed long enough to see what God would do there in Corinth. As we conclude this morning, many are familiar with the missionary William Carey. We call him the father of modern missions. He really, in the 1700s, changed the way, or trying to change the landscape of the way people do missions, in that he moved to a foreign field and gave his life to learn the culture and reach the people of that field. He had an open door to the field of India in the late 1700s. With that open door, he faced great opposition. While there, he suffered great health problems. He had malaria, almost died. He lost a son there on the mission field. Because of all that they went through, his wife suffered a mental breakdown and never was the same again. All this opposition. On top of that, it was 7 years before he had his first convert. Can you imagine? Ministering and laboring and going through all that opposition and not even seeing one soul saved for 7 years. But he stayed after it. The story goes on to reveal that he ministered there in India for 41 years. When he died, It was said that there were hundreds of people that had come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior through his ministry there. He's instrumental in translating the Bible into several different languages. He fathered the modern-day missions program by which our world has now largely been evangelized. Men like Adoniram Judson and J. Hudson Taylor would look to him as really their earthly inspiration for going to the world and seeing countless souls saved, some of those great missionaries. It's because God had opened a door. And yes, there would be opposition. But he stayed after it and realized this opposition cannot defeat me if God is the one that's opened the door. Listen, what I'm saying this morning is we may face some opposition when God is working through us. Expect it, but don't let it defeat you. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15:58, and we're going to finish with this verse. Paul, again, writing to this church at Corinth. He would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast." Why? Because God has opened a door for you. Be ye steadfast. God's opened a door. He said, be steadfast, unmovable. Why unmovable? Because there is great opposition when God opens the door. But look at it. He goes on to say, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because if God is behind it, he will accomplish what he desires to accomplish through you. In circumstance, that opposition cannot defeat you. And then he says this, "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." If you're a Christian today and you're laboring for God, can I tell you, God gives us an incredible promise? We'll go through some difficulties. We'll have some opposition. But if God is the one that's opened the door, that opposition cannot defeat us. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know how God may have used this in your life. Maybe God has opened a door for you. Maybe he's tugging on your heart to do something. Maybe there's a spiritual decision that needs to be made. Listen, can I tell you, when God opens the door, there are going to be adversaries. There are going to be people that will try to oppose. There will be circumstances that try to oppose. We can expect the opposition. But we know this, if God is in it, that opposition cannot defeat us. We're coming now to a time of invitation, a time to respond to God for how he's spoken to our hearts. As we pray here in just a moment, we're going to open up the altar. If you need to speak to someone, someone will be here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, one of these men or women would love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we're thankful for who you are. We're thankful for the work that you do in our lives. And Lord, we're thankful for the open doors that you give to us. And Lord, as we learn from Scripture, there is always opposition. Lord, I pray for someone that may be here today that may be on the verge of quitting. Lord, I pray that they would stay faithful to you. Think of someone that may be getting ready to launch out, Lord, into an open door and step out in faith. Lord, I pray that you'd help them and sustain them through that time. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.